Today is April the 17th, 2009, and Mark, you wanted to do a discussion tonight exposing the false Church of Unity. What would you entitle it?
The Church Unity.
Okay, and they actually call this Unity School of Christianity. And, of course, the headquarters are in Lee Summit, Missouri. Now, many of you know that we got involved in the Church of Unity when I was about, I must have been about 28 years old. And we were in it for about, going on 8 years, off and on. And it is a very, very deceptive and evil movement. Now, Mark, when you were down there, you told me that as a child, you were pretty young at that time. You were what, probably about 7, 8 years old?
Yeah.
And what are some of the things you remember about going to Unity?
They're really into numbers.
Numerology.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were into numbers. What else were they into?
They're really into talking about English and England, people from England, the English people that came from England and stuff.
Okay. They were also into meditation, weren't they?
Uh-huh.
And incense burning, candles, and New Age music, and mysticism. But they always tried to cloud it when people came in and visited the church. For the worship service, they'd always, remember a song they'd always sing?
I'm My Own Redeemer.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as they'd always sing one song every Sunday. What was it? Remember the Lord's Prayer?
Lord's My Shepherd or something?
No, the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Okay, every Sunday they'd sing the Lord's Prayer. Now, the thing of it is, we know that the Unity School of Christianity is really a classic New Age cult. It has kind of an appearance of being Christian, but it is very pantheistic. The New Age beliefs are at its core. The tragedy of it is now many of the churches in mainline Christianity are taking on the New Age genre, like, for an example, visualization, meditation, these kind of things. We see that people like Charles Stanley and David Jeremiah and some of these people are taking on, and it all started, we know that Robert Schuller attended the Unity School of Christianity, and he brought it into the Crystal Cathedral, and now it's, you know, because of the alignment of this church growth movement with Robert Schuller, they're taking on all of this new mystic kind of things in their churches. Now, Unity was founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore in 1889, and it's best known for its little magazine it puts out called The Daily Word. Kind of like, remember the little guidepost magazine that Norman Vincent Peale put out? Well, that's how they get you. And a lot of people take this Daily Word, and they're unaware of the doctrinal positions that Unity actually takes. You know, it started as a quest for physical healing by its co-founder, Mary Caroline Page, known as Myrtle, the wife of Charles Fillmore. And she'd always been involved in eclectic theology. And, of course, Charles had a background in Hinduism, Buddhism, Rosicrucianism, and Theosophy. And you put the two of those people together and you came up with, you know, metaphysics and they took 40 or more courses in metaphysics, and then Myrtle became developed what was to become known as practical Christianity. And she got into mental healing and all of this stuff. Really close to the Christian Science movement, Mark. And also Scientology. And, you know, in 1886, Myrtle attended a meeting led by Dr. E.B. Weeks, a noted metaphysician. And Dr. Weeks made a statement that would change Myrtle's understanding of herself and set her on a new course of spiritual development. Myrtle was in a state of mental and physical illness and had come to a point where she was not helped by either medicine or physicians. Dr. Weeks' statement that day brought her the healing she sought. She cherished each word of the phrase, "I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness." Well, that is not biblical. That is not biblical. A number of Christians are sick. Paul was sick. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to heal him 3 different times. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." So, on this earth, there are many genetic diseases. There are many diseases that we inherit. We are living in a fallen world. So that was a lie that she subscribed to. Myrtle believed. Now, I'm taking a lot of this teaching today from some research done by Probe Ministries. Now, I don't endorse Probe Ministries, but I do think they did some real good research on the School of Christianity. And if you want to go to that, you can find that by going to www.probe.org, and you can look in there. And they have all kinds of research they've done on everything from the Course in Miracles that Unity of Christianity teaches, Christ in the New Age, Freemasonry, Hinduism, Islam, and political correctness, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon beliefs about the Bible and salvation, Oprah's spirituality and New Earth stuff, philosophical Taoism, Scientology, and so on. But they've done a good job of doing research on the School of Christianity, I must say. And you can also see they've done some other research on reincarnation, the occult connection to the New Age movement, getting into the world of the occult. But the section under Unity School of Christianity is a very good research portion. Now, Mark, you said that you were very fearful sometimes when you were down in the School of Christianity, down at Unity on the Plaza in Kansas City, Missouri. Why did you find yourself being fearful?
I think there was Satanist somehow.
There was an element of satanic.
Yeah.
It was satanic. Anything that is against the Bible is satanic. I remember one day I was down there, and I had gone to a noon, it was like a prayer vigil, and all these people were holding hands, and I'll tell you what, I'm not going to say what happened, I'm just going to say this. I left there and never went back, and I never planned to go back. Myrtle believed that she had discovered a great spiritual truth regarding healing, that is, that repeating this phrase over and over and over, positive affirmations, she would be healed. And they also got into Finis Parkish Quimby, a mental healer and metaphysician. Of course, Myrtle was also a follower of Mayer Baker Eddy, and that was, you know, the founder of the Christian Science. And anyway, it roots goes back to Mary Baker Eddy, who, both directly and indirectly, because of Phineas Quimby. Now, listen to what Charles Fillmore said when somebody asked him about how the name of unity came up with the name of the church, he says, quote, "We have studied many isms, many cults, people of every religion under the sun claim that we either belong to them or have borrowed the best part of our teaching from them. We have borrowed the best from all religions. That is the reason we are called unity. Unity is not a sect, not a separation of people in an exclusive group or know-it-alls. Unity is the truth that is taught in all religions simplified so that anyone can understand and apply it." Now, see, that sounds like the Masonic Lodge, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that sound a lot like Barack Hussein Obama's theology?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the distinctive teachings of the Unity School of Christianity. Let's look at some of their doctrine and their theology. They say God is not a personality, but a spiritual energy force or principle of love. And Fillmore Charles says, quote, "God does not love anybody or anything. God is the love in everybody and everything. God exercises none of his attributes except through the inner consciousness of the universe in man." You see what that does? That negates sin, doesn't it? It negates sin. In other words, God is not a personal being, but an energy force that expresses itself in pantheistic love that permeates all things. Sounds a little like animism. And Emily Cady, another one of the New Agers, attempts to reconcile the seemingly incongruous possibility that God can be both personal and impersonal by her statement, quote, "To the individual conscious, God takes on personality, but as the creative underlying cause of all things, he is principal, impersonal, as expressed in each individual. He becomes personal, that one personal, loving, all-forgiving father, mother." Now see, they start taking out the gender-specific part of God, and they pray to Father, Mother, God. And so it's obvious that unity's understanding of who God is has fallen victim to its own syncretism. Unity, while attempting to identify itself as being biblical, has offered too much on the altar of tolerance and thereby has prostituted itself on the bed of other gods. They become pantheistic. Donald Curtis, a former minister at Unity Church of Dallas, an author of several Unity books, has this to say about God. Quote, "Every one of us has planted within him a God seed." Well, that's a lie. Not every one of us. And this gets back to what Arminianism teaches. God loves everybody. God made it possible for all men to be saved. No, he did not. God is an exclusive God. God came to save his people from their sins. And he says that everybody has planted within him a God seed. I tell people I took Arminianism to its most logical conclusion and went into unity. He goes on to say, "As this seed unfolds through the development of the Christ consciousness, we fulfill our highest objectives in this world." So the ultimate goal for those who follow unity teachings is to recognize their oneness with the Force, thereby realizing their true self, the God self. Really, the God of unity is an adaptation to the Hindu belief regarding the divine. God is a part of his creation. God is in all things. What does unity have to say about Jesus Christ? They say that, in fact, unity holds a very unbiblical view of Jesus Christ. Donald Curtis, again, this former minister at Unity Church of Dallas, agrees with Unity theology in that he believes that Jesus, the man, is fundamentally different from Jesus, the Christ. He says, quote, Christ is a universal principle of love and wisdom. Christ is the only Son of God, but this only Son of God lives in each one of us. No. The Son of God does not live in each one of us. He certainly doesn't live. Christ said to the Pharisees, the reason you don't believe on me is you are your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He didn't. The Son of God was not living in those people. And so this Curtis guy that's from the former minister of the Unity Church of Dallas, he makes a primary deviation from biblical understanding that he holds the position that Jesus is man and that Christ is divine consciousness. He says, quote, let us prepare ourselves so that Christ may be born in our consciousness. Wait a minute, we can't prepare ourselves. How can a person who's dead in their trespasses and sin prepare themselves?
I can't.
No, Lazarus can't raise himself from the dead. And he says, then we will discover that Christ is inherently within each one of us, regardless of our personal beliefs or affiliations. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So you can believe in pedophilic behavior, and Christ is still inherently in each of you? No. He says, Curtis, he says, quote, when we say Jesus Christ, we must realize that Jesus represents man, and Christ represents God in man. Well, unity is distorting Christ as the Messiah and renders him as a universal principle of love that resides in all of humanity, simply waiting to be discovered through self-consciousness. That's a lot of what Arminianism teaches, too. So unity, along with other New Age belief systems, really espouses a mental and spiritual transformation that will raise our consciousness. I remember one time running into a guy from Hare Krishna. Talking about raising someone's consciousness. Well, the pantheistic nature of unity is expressed in that we let ourselves be ruled by the Christ within. Let ourselves. In other words, back to what Mark was saying, the song they sang, you are your own redeemer. It's kind of like I heard this guy sing one time, I guess it all depends on when you change your mind. That's Arminianism. He says, we let the Christ teaching unfold in and through us in this great new age. We know that this Christ principle indwells every individual, no matter what his religious beliefs may be. That is a lie, again, from the pit of hell. Would that include Hitler? Would that include Judas? Would that include Genghis Khan? Would that include all of those Old Testament heathens that God told them to destroy? Now, you know, as far as they also go on and they say that man's primary purpose is to recognize that he is divine. We are not divine. That's another lie. That's what Satan tried to promote. He told Adam and Eve, you will become as gods. This Curtis guy states, quote, there is another teaching, however, a higher teaching, is that man has always existed as a part of God, and this God self, which is the living essence of everything, individualizes itself in man. That's what Satan taught. He goes on to say that within each of us there's a great, wise, and beautiful being. No. Apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ, we're depraved and dead in our trespasses and sin. He says, this is what we really are, the living essence of everything. We are evolving constantly. We have self-consciousness. We must develop God consciousness, a sense of universal unity, and we must endeavor to manifest the God consciousness in our world to solve our apparent differences through love and understanding. Yucky, yucky, yuck. Now, we're trying to point out the Mark and I are trying to point out the dangers of becoming involved in the Unity School of Christianity or anything associated with it or the doctrines associated with it. I mean, unity teaches evolution, both physical and mental or spiritual. It teaches that mankind evolves toward godhood and that the collective God consciousness will be man's solution to all his problems. But really what it's doing is it's elevating mankind to divinity. And this is not taught in the Bible. And, you know, they go on, they take it to an extreme, they end up saying we become as a one with the universal self God. All these little gods running around. This is basically Hinduistic philosophy dressed in Western garb. What do they say about salvation? Well, they say, quote, man originally lived consciously in a spiritual part of himself. He fell by descending into his consciousness to the external or more material part of himself. They say the fall of man was from the spiritual realm to the physical, and the fall has caused him to suffer spiritual amnesia. And so the dilemma then is for man to reclaim his place in the spiritual realm through right thinking. No. You know, the Bible tells us over and over that a man that is dead in their trespasses and sin is unable to have right thinking. They're spiritually blind. They're spiritually deaf. They can't hear spiritually. They can't see spiritually. And unity teaches that as man discovers his innate divinity, he continues to raise his consciousness until he becomes fully God-realized. Once man has achieved this state of understanding, he recognizes that he is in perfect oneness with God and is not in need of redemption, but that he indeed is divine. He's his own redeemer. Well, it's very unbiblical. And they even put out a little pamphlet called The Way to Salvation. And this little pamphlet states that Jesus Christ was not meant to be slain as a substitute for man. Now, he said that he wasn't meant to atone vicariously for him. Each person must achieve at one-ment with God by letting the Christ Spirit within him resurrect his soul into Christ's perfection. Does that sound a little Arminian?
Yeah.
Let Jesus into your heart. Well, they also, of course, are really heavily into reincarnation. We know that. They teach that an individual lives a number of lifetimes within one existence. Quote, it isn't so important that we make it in a particular lifetime as it is realized that we do make it because there's only one lifetime and it goes on forever, they say. And if you want to get in their articles of faith, Article 22 says, quote, we believe that the dissolution of the spirit, soul, and body caused by death is annulled by rebirth of the same spirit, soul, and another body here on earth. I just recently did a sermon on Sermon Audio. Is it reincarnation or resurrection? And I pointed out these things. There's not going to be another body here on earth. This body is going to die and decay and go back to dust from which it came. They go on to say, we believe the repeated incarnations of man to be a merciful provision of our loving Father to the end that we all may have opportunity to attain immortality through regeneration as did Jesus. No. We don't retain regeneration through reincarnation. We are regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God and given new life. And when we die, we get a glorified body and we are in heaven with Christ. Well, and so Fillmore, you know, for him, reincarnation was a much more simple way for God to offer man a second chance at perfection. kind of like the holiness people say, you have to have two works of grace. First you get saved, then you get sanctified. Well, Fillmore says the way you get sanctified is you start being reincarnated multiple times till you get better each time. Now, this teaching of reincarnation is probably the most destructive of all the false teaching of unity. The belief in reincarnation undercuts the primary tenets of the gospel. Christ taught something totally different. One would have to deny the deity of our Lord, his physical resurrection, his second coming, to accept the error of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore in unity on reincarnation. Reincarnation undercuts Christian doctrine in three ways. It assumes that God is impersonal, and it is therefore unknowable. Second, reincarnation denigrates the atonement of Christ, and third, it denies the fact that Jesus physically resurrected from the dead. The Bible does not offer any evidence to support these assumptions. On the contrary, the Bible clearly teaches that God is a personal being and that he is knowable. Isaiah 43:25 and Jeremiah 31:20 tells us that God remembers. Exodus 3:12 and Matthew 3:17 says that God speaks. Genesis 1:1 and 6:5 along with Exodus 2:24 says that God sees, hears, and creates. Elsewhere in the Bible tells us that God is a personal spirit. John 4:24 and Hebrews 1:3. Since God is a personal being, he has a will. Matthew 6:10, Hebrews 10:7 through 9. He will judge his creation. So anyway, what happens to this whole thing is that unity is denigrating the atonement of Christ, the completed work of Jesus Christ. And they have to do that so they can build a better case for their doctrine of reincarnation. But atonement delivers man from this concept of the rebirth. Reincarnation does not offer us either peace or hope, but the resurrection offers us great hope. Paul said that if Christ is not raised, we are yet in our sins. We have no hope. Jesus has dealt with our sin on the cross, and our response is based upon his completed work, because faith comes from God. It's a work. Even our belief is a work of God. Unity, of course, they cannot accept a physical resurrection. Unity holds that the disciples expected Jesus to be reincarnated, not resurrected. A blatant lie. The biblical claims that Jesus rose physically, appeared and was recognized by many, was physically touched by some, and ate fish with others are troublesome, must be explained away or spiritualized into meaninglessness for the unity folks. So let's just bring this to a conclusion. The school, Unity School of Christianity, is recognized as a cult because it exhibits several cultic characteristics. One characteristic is syncretism. It's an attempt to combine or reconcile all these differing beliefs, usually by taking the most attractive features from several sources and combining them into something new. And they even admitted that. They've taken the best qualities of all religions and left them, throwing them all in there together. Another characteristic of unity is the denial of biblical doctrine of salvation by faith in Christ and his finished work on the cross. They say salvation comes by recognizing our inherent divinity and oneness with God. Well, it is a very deceptive movement, I must say. You know, if you talk to people that are in unity, they will tell you that they consider all the denominations out there their mission field that they can disseminate their ideas to. And you know, they may greet you like something like, "Greetings to your higher self." You know, it's very metaphysical. It's very New Age, and they mix all of it together. They even get involved in the occult. And Fillmore says it's a blending of all the various religions and belief systems. And they are strong on pantheism. And they see God as both male and female. God is seen as an energy force. He resides in all things, both animate and inanimate. God is seen as impersonal. And Jesus is merely just a principle of love. Christ within. Christ consciousness. Unity teaches that man's primary problem is that he has spiritual amnesia and needs to reconnect with his spiritual destiny. He needs to regain the realization that he is evolving toward divinity, I want you to know. Salvation, according to Unity, comes by recognizing one's divine nature. Unity totally denies the atonement and substitutionary work of Jesus Christ, but they rather seek to bring in Eastern mysticism and talk about at-one-ment and realizing oneness with the divine on a spiritual level. Unity does not recognize the work of Christ on the cross, the atonement, but they accept evolution as a positive ingredient in man's spirituality. They see it as all a mental quest. It's really influenced by Eastern thought, mysticism, New Age cultism. It's not Christian, and it's not even close to being Christian. And I just want people to thank Russ Weiss, who was a former associate speaker with Probe Ministry, for doing this great research. But I also want to say that our first-hand experience with Unity absolutely coincides with what Russ has done in his research work in this particular paper. We firsthand, 8 years, experienced this kind of merging of the Eastern mysticism, pantheism, Hinduism, transpersonal psychology, out-of-body experiences, meditation, oneness theology, harmonic balance, going to the light, burning incense, and all other kinds of religion, all intermeshed together and bringing total darkness to the soul. Father, we pray that you would take this teaching and use it for your glory, expose this very demonic group that is lying about your word like Satan did in the Garden of Eden. And we pray that you would bring this movement down. In Christ's name, amen.